And you found your place, if you will, stand with me in reverence for reading of the Word of God in Romans chapter 6. In verse 16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again today, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for this pastor. And Father, I pray you continue to bless and use him, God, to do a work right here in our community. Father, I pray you'd bless this church and use it for your glory, Lord, and for the good of all that can be touched through the ministry here. And Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we ask, Lord, that you just add your blessing to the reading of it tonight. Father, we pray you'd open hearts and open our ears tonight. Let us hear what you have to say. And Father, just open your word to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's any here lost tonight, Lord, that don't truly know Jesus as their personal Savior, as their best friend, Lord, I pray that before it's too late, Lord, I pray that you'd save that soul. You'd speak to them as only you can. And Lord, save that soul, Lord, we pray here tonight. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope y'all don't mind if I take my jacket off. But I was thinking about this, and you know, according to this scripture right here, we are all servants in some manner or another. We're a servant to somebody. Now, I'm not talking about a bond servant where we are a slave, but we are a servant to somebody in some shape, form, or fashion. We're servants. And I think back to when I was lost, who I served then. I thought I was serving myself, but I was actually serving the devil. I was serving sin. I was living for sin. I was living my own way. I was doing my own thing. I thought only of myself. And I was a servant to sin at that time, and my life brought forth unrighteousness. That's what sin brings about. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the payment for my life at that time would have been death. I mean, it would have been eternal death. Had I died in that condition, I would have died eternally, completely eternally separated from God and anything good. But here he says now, he said, being made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. And therefore, as servants of righteousness, you know, we need to realize that we're serving one or the other. We're serving one master or another. We're either serving God or we're serving the devil. We're either serving God or we're serving this old world that we live in. And I'll tell you, this world has nothing to offer a child of God. You say, well, what about this and what about that and what about the other? I'm going to tell you, this world's going to pass away and everything in it. And we need to realize tonight that it's all going to be gone one day. And none of the things that we've gained in this life is going to matter. We're talking about this morning being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What does this world have to offer that Jesus Christ has not already given to us? I mean, this world has nothing to offer. He owns it all. And therefore, we need to serve Him tonight. As Christians, we ought to serve our Master. Now, as Christians, if we've made a public statement that we have been born again, had our sins washed away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then the Bible is clear, we are a new creature. I mean, there's no question about that. The Bible's clear on it, and I'm glad as a Christian I have a final authority in my life. I'm glad that I have something that when I've got a question in myself, I can go to the Word of God and I can find the answer. I can find what God said about it. And for a child of God, what He said about it is the final authority. And I'm glad that we have that tonight. I'm glad we can stand on this Word. We can trust in this Word. We know that this Word has in it the words of life, and from it flow all the issues of life. I'm glad tonight that God has given us His Word to go by. But I was thinking about being a servant serving. And when we were lost, what future did we have to look forward to? What future? I mean, at best, we could hope to retire with a lot of money, maybe a beach house, and maybe this and that, that our kids would fight over when we die and we go on. I mean, that was the best that we could hope for, was to have a good retirement and a long retirement. That's all that we had to shoot for. That was the very best. And y'all realize tonight, if we only had hope in Christ in this life, the Bible said we would be of men most miserable. Right? Do you remember when you were lost? You remember when your life really had no point to it? It had no meaning. It had no feeling to it. It was all empty and just seemed like nothing. And it seemed like you thought, well, hey, if I can just get this, I'll be happy. And when you get it, you find out you need something else. And that's the way the world is, because the world cannot satisfy man's greatest need. And man's greatest need is a relationship with Almighty God. I mean, in the beginning, we were created. I like this. We were created in the beginning to have a relationship with God. We wasn't created to sin. We wasn't created to live for the devil. We wasn't created to serve only ourselves. We wasn't created to serve sin. We were created to worship and have a relationship with Almighty God. I mean, in the beginning, He come down in the cool of the day and He talked with Adam. I mean, He communed with Adam. Him and Adam, I mean, think about that. Him and Adam said, and they named the animals. Can you imagine a time like that with God that they sat and they named, I mean, a special time, but then sin entered in by one man. And death by sin, and man separated from God, but God made a promise. God made a promise that He would send a Savior, that He would send one that would pay the debt that man could be reconciled back to God. And I'll tell you what, tonight, I remember who I used to live for, and I know who I live for now, and the benefits. I mean, the Bible tells in Psalms that blessed be God who daily loadeth us with benefits. Amen. I look back, and I wonder how I even got through life. I wonder how I made it from day to day. I wonder how getting through life without God's benefits daily, how did I make it? But I realized that even then, the grace of God was working in my life. And I thank God for His grace tonight. I thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His goodness tonight. And that's something we ought to rejoice in. Y'all realize that tonight? We ought to rejoice in being a Christian. A lot of people seem like they're sad about being a child of God. Well, I don't get to do this anymore, and I can't do that anymore, and I don't get to go out here anymore, and I don't get to talk like this anymore. I'll be honest with you. God took a lot of things away from me when He saved my soul. He changed my mouth. He changed my words. He changed my language. He changed my outlook. He changed my inlook. He changed my past. He wiped it away, never to be remembered against me again. And you know what? He changed my future. He changed my eternity. But I'll tell you this tonight, He not only changed the past and the future, He also changed today. Because now when I get up, I got a reason to get up. Now when I get up, I got a reason to get up and go to work. And when I go to work, I got a reason to work. Amen. I've got something to live for now. What's that? It's my Master. I serve Him. Amen. Hey, whoever it is that we obey, that's who we are the servant to. The servant to. Now, I like over here in Exodus 21. The Bible says in verse 1, let me get to the right spot. I don't want to read you where we were at this morning. That's the wrong book. In Exodus 21, verse 1, it said, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself." Well, I like this. "If the servant shall plainly say..." This is a statement we all should plainly say. "I love my master." Amen. Do you love the one you're serving right now? Do you love your master tonight? We should say, the world should have no doubt about who we love. "I love my master. I love if he shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free." I like that. I won't go out. "And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Amen. Amen. I like that, don't you? I'm a servant to the master, the master. That's a capital M, not a master. I'm a servant to the master. And in the Jewish custom, I was looking this up and studying this. I heard this preached a while back, but I was looking at looking up the Jewish custom and studying that more and more and trying to get into the servitude back in those days. And if it was a Hebrew, then after that 6 year, they had to set them free or they could make this choice, but they could not be a bond servant. They had to be a hired servant. They had to be that kind of servant because in Leviticus it talks against that. Well, they can't be a bond servant, which is a slave that has no benefits. He just does what the master says and he asks no questions. He gets no benefits from it. They had to be a hired servant if it was a Hebrew. Now, if it was a different nationality, then they had different rules and regulations on that. But I'm glad that one day I become a servant to the master. And I'm talking about the master of the seas, the master that created everything that you and I see. That's the one that I serve tonight. I don't serve anybody else. But there was a few other reasons that you could become a servant. I mean, if you find yourself in a place, now this made me think of myself. When, if you were a debtor and you could not pay your debt, you could go become a servant. You could go and hire yourself out to pay your debt, to cover that debt. Or if you had stolen something and you were caught, then you could work that off. You could pay that off by becoming a servant. But I'll tell you what, tonight, every one of us, every single one of us had a debt. Do y'all realize that tonight? We all had a sin debt. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care where you grew up. Don't care where you went to college. I don't care none of that. Every person had a sin debt. Every one of us could. And if we had chosen to pay that sin debt ourselves, we would pay that sin debt for all eternity. And that awful place called hell tonight, but I'm glad that we put ourselves in the care of the Master. We went and He was willing to pay our debt with the blood of His only begotten Son tonight, and in that I rejoice, in that I glory in what Christ was willing to do, not what He had to go through, but what He was willing to do for me. I glory in that He was willing to pay my debt, amen, that I could become one of His, that not only could I become a servant, but I could become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and I'm glad tonight to know that I do love my master because my master first loved me. Amen. And I'm glad he was willing to pay my debt. I'm glad he loved me enough. And I'll tell you, that gives me strength for today. It gives me hope for tomorrow. And it gives me peace over the past. Amen. Knowing that Jesus paid my sin debt. Because I'll tell you, there's no sin that the blood of Christ won't cover. I'm glad to know that tonight. But look right here. I want you to look. Paul called himself a servant. In Romans, he called himself a servant. And in his letter to the Philippians, he called himself a servant. In Titus, his letter to Titus, he started the letter off, Paul, a servant of the Lord. He called himself a servant. So if the Apostle Paul considered himself a servant, should I not consider myself a servant? Amen. We ought to consider ourselves servants. Every one of us, whether we serve in a pulpit, or whether we serve in a choir, or whether we serve in an altar praying, or whether we serve out in the congregation, or however we serve, we ought to consider ourselves a servant unto the Lord. I mean, Peter called himself a servant. Jude said he was a servant. They all said they were servants unto the Lord. So we tonight ought to be servants, but I'll tell you this, the difference in the one I used to serve and the one I serve now is the one I used to serve didn't daily load me with benefits. He daily took from me. He daily cost me. He cost me peace. He cost me joy. He cost me all those things because I did not have those without the knowledge of Jesus Christ in my life. But now that I serve the Master, now that I have accepted His payment for my sin debt, amen. You know, that's what it takes to be saved tonight. It don't take somebody telling you you're saved. It don't take somebody saying that you're saved for you. It don't take somebody making that decision for you. It takes more than just raising your hand and repeating a prayer. It's your own choice tonight to choose Jesus Christ and His payment for sin's debt. Amen. If we've not accepted Him personally ourselves, then we have not been saved. Amen. I'm going to lose that bottle of water yet. Y'all are thinking about hot dogs, ain't you? But look right here. It said, if the master hath given him a wife. Now, if you go because you owe a debt and you're unable to pay it, you go and put yourself at the mercy of the master. And you put your care in the master's hands. Right? You put your life in the master's hands. Do we do anything different as Christians tonight? Do we not put our life in Christ's hands? Too many times we make this mistake. We put eternity in His hands. But we won't put today in His hands. We'll put our eternal soul in His hands, but we won't even put our finances in His hands. I'm just being honest with that. We'll put all of our hopes for the future in His hands, but we won't put our children in His hands. We won't put the discipline of our children in His hands. And what we don't realize tonight is God daily loads us with benefits for a specific reason, that we could raise up the next generation behind us to worship and praise God here on this earth in our stead when we're gone, until He takes the church home. And if we're not careful, if we don't let the Master to lead us and show us and teach us how we ought to do, then there's going to come up a generation that does not know and worship God anymore. I mean, too many churches nowadays, you don't see any young people in them anymore. Too many churches nowadays, they're dwindling away. I heard a statistic recently that 800 Baptist churches a year close their doors right here in America. And I also heard that 1,000 Muslim mosques are built, over 1,000 are built every year in America. Y'all realize that? A brother come and shared a lot of statistics with us, and there's 7.5 billion people on the planet, and with the rate of the population growth, and with the rate of the conversion rate to Christianity, which is a very small amount, they give the statistic that 29 out of 30 people being born today are dying and going to hell. Dying and going to hell. Do y'all realize that? And at that rate, how long will a true church be here in America? At what point? The servant, we ought to be doing the master's will, hadn't we? We ought to be walking daily with the master, that we'd be a strong Christian. We ought to be talking daily with the master, that we'd be in touch with him, that he could lead our life and help us in the hard times and rejoice with us in the good times, that he could lead us home. We know he's going to lead us home one day. We know we might be part of that group that he steps out and says, come up hither, and we are taken up into the clouds to meet him and meet the dead in Christ that's already risen. We know that God's going to do that, but what are we going to do till that day gets here? I mean, the Master has provided everything that we need. Philippians 4:19 said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. I mean, God has daily loaded us with benefits. He give us all of His promises. He's got the power to carry them out. And I'll tell you what we ought to do tonight as servants is just let God have us. Amen. Just let God have our life. Just let God have our will. Amen. And when we become a servant and we realize our spiritual destitution, we got nothing, got no hope, and we had nothing to offer God, when we realized that we were spiritually broke and busted, we couldn't supply our own need because I couldn't get to heaven where He is. He had to come down here where I was. Amen. Just like He did for all of you. But when we realize that, we need to realize that we ought to just put our care in His hands. Amen. Put our life in His hands. Put all that we are in His hands. Amen. You'll find out the closer you get to God, you can't outgive Him. You can't outdo Him. He's God. And He wants to save us. That's what amazes me. That God knows us better than we know ourselves. But yet Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, you know, while you was out in the sin that you were in, Christ died for you. While you were out in the muck and the mire, Christ died for you. When it was you down in that horrible pit and that miry clay, Christ died for you. Boy, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad He extends grace? None of us earned it. We wasn't good enough to get to heaven. We couldn't work enough, couldn't pray enough, couldn't go to church enough. But by His grace, He made a way for you and I to be in heaven. He made a way for you and I to have a relationship with Him. But look, we see God's provision. We see the Master. He provides for the servant. And look right here, the things that He does in our life. It said if His master had given Him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love the master, I love my master. Well, shouldn't we love Him today? Why? Why should we love God? Yeah. He first loved us, didn't he? He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were filthy, rotten sinners. He looked down and said, "There's Todd Maston. I love that boy. I'm gonna see to it that he's got a way to be an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. One day I'm going to go by where he is, and I'm going to speak to his heart. I'm going to let him know how much I love him." We ought to be saying to the world today, "I love my master. My master's been so good to me. My master has loved me. My master loved me when nobody else could. And when I still mess up today, you know what? The master still loves me." Hey, we get down on ourselves a lot of times because we make mistakes and we're not perfect. But I'll tell you this, you're not going to be. You're going to make mistakes. That's why he gave us his word, and he told us in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we'll confess our sin, you know what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'll tell you what, tonight I love my master. Amen. I love him because he first loved me. But you know what? He didn't stop with just first loving me. He loves me today. He loved me yesterday. He's going to love me tomorrow. Amen. He'll love us until we're there home with him. Then he's going to love us some more. He'll love us for eternity. We ought to be telling the world, "I love my master because my master first loved me." But we see that God provides. But look at the benefits of being a child of God. What are you talking about? I had to give everything up. I've heard people say that. I've had conversations. "Well, I just ain't ready to be a Christian. I have to give up too much." You know what I give up? Heartache, pain, trouble, sin. I give up that stuff. Amen. I give up all the things that I didn't need, the things that were hurting me. The things that were causing me trouble every day, that's what I had to give up. And you know what? Now looking back, I was glad to give it up. I had somebody say the other day, "Well, we just can't go to church because, well, that's when my family gets together." That's when the family of God gets together too, ain't it? That's the family that'll affect all of our other families together, won't it? Our relationship with God ought to affect our relationship with our church family, but it also ought to affect the relationship with our earthly family. And my relationship with God ought to affect my brother. It ought to affect my sister. It ought to affect my whole family. The benefits of being a servant of God. I like the benefits. I've got peace right in the midst of a storm. Y'all ever had a storm in your life? Boy, y'all live charmed lives, haven't you? We're just floating through, preacher. We ain't even touching the ground. Well, I hadn't lived a charmed life. I'll be honest with you. I've had hardships and trials. I've had times when I just thought I was going to bust into pieces and they was going to sweep me under the rug and be done with me and that'd be it. But you know what? The grace of God come through. That's one of the benefits of knowing the Master, amen, is His grace and His touch and peace in the midst of a storm. Peace you cannot buy. You realize Walmart don't have a single bit of peace. Nobody can get it. They can't order it. All you can do is get it by knowing Jesus Christ. The peace that passes all understanding, that when nobody can figure out why you're at peace and you have joy in your heart, that's a benefit of knowing the Master. One of the many, many benefits. And if I tried to hit them all tonight, we'd be here till your hot dogs got cold. And I can tell y'all would be unhappy. So I'm not going to hit all of that. But y'all know the benefits of being a child of God. Well, see, I don't have to worry about the future. Brother Matthew, you know, I don't even have to worry about what North Korea is going to do. Kim Jong crazy can do whatever he wants to. It ain't going to matter. And Donald Trump can sit back and threaten all he wants to. It ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter what Vladimir does over in Russia. It don't matter what the Chinese do. It don't matter what any of them do. See, those people just think they have power. They think that they're in control of something. But you know what? God's still on the throne. Amen. God is still on the throne tonight. And you know what? I ain't worried about the future. So what about your kids? Hey, I put my kids in God's hands. A long time ago, I dedicated my kids to the Lord. I've tried to raise them right. I've tried to teach them right. Tried to do right with them. They're not perfect angels. But you know what? None of them are. And guess what, Mom and Dad? You ain't either. None of us are. Amen. But I have got hope in the Lord for the future. That it don't matter what happens down here because all this is going to pass away one day anyway. We come in, we brought nothing into this world and it's sure that we're going to take nothing out. Amen. What we do for the Master is the only thing that's going to count. But look right here. He said if he loved his Master, his wife, and his children. Right there is the order it ought to be in our life. You got to love God first.
Oh, but my kids.
You know how many kids' lives have been ruined because mom and daddy love the kid more than they love God? You can bow up if you want to, but it's the simple truth. When we love our kids and we love our relationship with them more than we do our relationship with God, we don't discipline them the way we ought to. I'm just telling you the truth tonight. We won't tell them no. We won't say that's enough. We won't say you don't need that. We just want to keep giving it to them. And you know what? There's times when I've asked God for stuff, and you know what the answer was? That's not right now. You don't need that now. That's not for you right now, so the answer's no. You know, God loves us enough to give us truth and to tell us no when no is the necessary answer. And what we ought to do is love God enough that we love our wife and our children the way that we ought to, that we keep everything in order. We keep everything in its place. We keep God first. We keep our family where it ought to be. And we love God enough to trust that God told us the truth when He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That he that spareth his rod hateth his own son. That's what the Bible says. And you know what? I believe it. I got the respect out of my boys when they were young. They knew that there was a piece of leather or a switch coming when they got out of line. Amen. They knew it was coming. And therefore, I could say, now, I didn't beat my youngins. They'll tell you I didn't. I hadn't had to whoop them in a long time. My wife, she's different. She don't want to whoop like I was like, get in the bathroom. It's on. You pushed it too far now. Now, Melissa, she was softer. She would try to talk it out. I got to respect. I'd do that, and I'd be like, okay. All of you boys that had a daddy that wasn't afraid to discipline, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your daddy give you the look. Amen. Or something. All right. Me and my brother was fighting one day, and that's what my daddy hated. He hated to see us fighting. We're standing there fighting, going at it, and I seen him go, backing away from me. And I knew it was coming. It was Daddy. And he had a small sapling in his hand. And you know what he done? He whooped both of us at the same time. It was so big, he was whooping both of us at the same time. But he saw Daddy coming, and I saw the look on his face, and I knew it was Daddy behind me. So I just drawed up because I knew it was coming, because I knew I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I knew that discipline was coming because Daddy was a disciplinarian. Daddy believed in a whooping. Daddy believed in a belt, a boot, a hand, a switch, whatever he could lay his hands on. And I'm not scarred because of it. I'm not scarred because of it. I don't need a therapist. But I had blood on my legs at times. Hey, maybe he did go a little far. I don't know. But you know what? I learned a great deal of respect. I learned that a hickory limb about that long will wrap around your legs twice before that tip smacks the flesh. I learned that quick, Brother Ronnie. But I don't need therapy for it now. Why? Because God said we need discipline. We need discipline. We may not like doling it out, but we need it. We may not like giving it to our children, but we need it. We don't like telling our kids no. I'll be honest with you. My two boys are pastor's kids. They don't have a lot of time to get into a lot of other stuff. And when they say, the one thing that we do like to do is go fishing. And when they say, Daddy, can we go fishing? It's hard for me to say no. When I was in revival and I was trying to work, hey, Daddy, can we go fishing? I said, I can't. I ain't got time. I got to stay home and study, and I got to pray. I got to seek God's will for the service tonight. I said, but y'all are old enough, you can go yourself. So they broke my heart as they loaded their stuff in Dalen's car, and they took off fishing. I thought they would just say, Daddy, since you can't, we ain't. Took off spinning tires in the driveway. These largemouth bass needs to be caught. Brother Junior, they wasn't worried about me sitting at home reading and praying and studying. Where's that next 7-pounder at? That's what they were looking for. Well, we got to keep our priorities straight. We got to keep everything in line. If you want your relationships right down on the job, if you want your relationship right with your wife or your husband, if you want the relationship with your children right, then get your relationship with God right. Amen. Get your relationship with your master right. Love Him above all others. Say, preacher, I can't do that. I don't know if you know Him then. I don't know if you know Him because ain't nobody love you like He can. There's not another person that'll love you as much as He does. There's not another that can give what He gave for you. Love Him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, my commandments are not grievous. They're not. They're not hard to keep. If we love Him, they're not hard to keep, are they?
But look at the order. The master, the wife, and the children. Boy, we'd do well to get our homes back in order, wouldn't we? We'd do well to get our homes back in order. Get our homes back. Get our homes to where the government's not telling us how we ought to raise our children. How some psychiatrist is telling us how we ought to treat our children. How some are telling us we ought to give them positive reinforcement instead of telling them the truth. I'm going to tell you, if my boys, which are homeschooled, if they start having trouble on a subject, I'll say, boy, you're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to put more time in it. That's not your best subject. You need to work harder on it. Hey, I'm going to tell them. I ain't going to say, boy, you're doing a good job when you're getting a big old F. This positive reinforcement stuff ain't working. Right. This self-esteem movement ain't working. If we want self-esteem, realize Jesus loves you. Amen. If you want to feel good about yourself, realize the price that was paid for you. Amen. Realize that heaven gave the very best it had to give just for you. Amen. He didn't give Jesus just for preachers. He didn't give him just for deacons or teachers or evangelists or missionaries. He gave His very best for every one of us. Amen. Amen. That don't make you feel good about yourself, hasn't it? Well, some of y'all smile then. But then, we know that the master provides for the servant. We see the benefits of being with the master, serving the master. But also, see the mark. See the mark of being the master's servant. He took him and he bored his ear through with an awl. I don't know what that signified. I can't get into it. I don't fully understand all that. But I know there was a mark from being the master's servant. There was a mark in the ear that said he would serve him forever. That he would be his servant for his whole life. Not that he would stop short. Not that he would quit part of the way through, which sadly so many are today. They're walking away from God. They are marked by the master. When we say that, I believe it was Brother John Dorsey that said he believed that every Christian, whether preacher or whatever, every Christian come to a point in their life where they made the decision they was either going to walk with God and serve Him, or they were going to give up and walk away. And I believe that. I believe he's right. I believe there's been a time in every one of our lives that the devil has come up and whispered in our ear, you ought to just quit. You know what, preacher? They ain't listening.
That's right.
They're sitting there looking at you like you're crazy. They're not listening to you. You Christian, they ain't nobody concerned. They're not going to miss you if you don't show up for church. I can promise you this. If you go here, he's going to know your face ain't in here. That pastor sitting right up there, he's going to know that you're not here. If you come down here, he's going to know you're not here. Why? Because he cares about you. Why? Because the master put a love in his heart for all of you. But the devil comes to him and tells him, you know what, preacher? They're not listening. Time for you to move on. Time for you to sit down. Time for you to stop preaching. But we have to make that conscious decision.
Yeah.
Am I going to walk with Jesus? Am I going to serve the master? Or am I going to go back to serving sin? While we were serving sin, what fruit did we have in our life? Go back to what Paul said. What fruit did Paul have before he met Jesus that day on the road to Damascus? What fruit did he have? He was making havoc of the church. He was carrying Christians off to be persecuted, to be killed. He stood while they stoned Stephen to death, and Stephen stood there and said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I mean, what fruit did Paul have in his life until he gave his life to Jesus Christ? Because when that light shone on him and the Lord spoke to him, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul made a choice that day on the road to Damascus that Jesus Christ was going to be his Lord. And from that time forward, Jesus Christ was his master. He was his Lord, his master, his Savior. He was his all in all. And Paul's life was forever marked by the time that he met Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm glad he marked me. I'm glad he made a mark in my life. I'm glad he made a difference. He changed who I was. A child of God ought to be marked by the master they serve. And I'm glad he marked me in here, Brother Todd. I still look the same out here. This ain't improved none. That's a crying shame. I know I could sure stand some improvement. But he didn't change this, which it's going to be one day. He changed it in here. He made his mark in here. But you know what? Jesus told the disciples, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The mark of a Christian, the master's mark on the child of God is a changed life.
Amen.
We don't walk the same anymore. Right? We don't talk the same anymore. We don't do the same things we used to do. The alcoholic, he loses his desire for the bottle when he gets saved and born again. The drug addict, they find their need in Jesus Christ. They find all that they need in Him. I mean, the whoremonger, the one runs around on his wife, the thief, all of these, they no longer have the need to do those things because they put their care and their life in the hands of the Master. And they put their faith in Him and their trust in Him. Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. There ought to be a mark on our life. Hey, we ought to let Him mark us with His love, with His grace, and with His goodness. His grace ought to show through in our life, hasn't it? And we ought to rejoice, I'm sure. I can't say I'm sure. But your pastor may have dealt with the same thing I have in the past. Run into old friends from years ago. Hey, what are you doing now? Well, I'm working, pastoring a church. You? I've had that. You pastoring a church? Yeah, I'm just as shocked as you are. That's what I tell them. Well, I'd have never thought that about you. Well, I wouldn't either till I met Jesus. I wouldn't either till I started getting close to the Lord. I wouldn't either until I started reading His Word and His Word began to read me. I wouldn't have thought that of me either, but I know God makes a change. He puts His mark on His servants. Do you love the Master tonight? Now, I'm not saying do you love coming to church. There's a lot of people who love to go to church, but they won't do nothing for the Lord. I know. And a lot of people, I'll be honest with you, you can't find a lost person anymore. You go out visiting, you can't find a lost person. Everybody's going to heaven nowadays. But they won't darken the door of a church. They won't come to the house of God because somebody looked at them cross-eyed. I question the love for their Master. I question who they're really serving. You know, the church is not here to serve me. It's not here to serve the pastor. It's not here to serve the deacons. It's not here to serve anybody but the Lord. We're here to do the Lord's will. Hey, Jesus is the head of the church, right? The body does what the head tells it, right? Hey, if we're doing what the head tells us, then we ought to be in good shape, haven't we? Even when sickness rolls through, we ought to still be in good shape. But do you love the Master tonight? Because ain't the Master been good to you? Hadn't He provided good for you? Hadn't He supplied you need? Have you ever missed anything? We're all Baptists here. We can be honest. Most of us don't look like we've missed a meal. Right? Most of us look like we could probably skip a few. Right? We ain't never missed anything. We know God's going to take care of us, don't we? But what we need to be sure and do is read the verses before Philippians 4:19. You'll find out that they had already given themselves to the Lord. And therefore, Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Don't just sit back and don't fall into the trap of planting $100 seed in the offering plate. Don't expect to get fourfold back or $1,000 seed on TV. Don't fall into that trap. Don't get into that mess. You do for God because God asks you to do it and God will take care of your need. God will meet the need. I don't care what it is. If it's sickness, God will meet that need. He'll give grace to get through it, or God will give healing either on this side or the other side. One or the other. God's going to take care of the need. What we just got to do is be a servant to the Master. Be marked by the Master. Let our life be marked by knowing Jesus Christ. How can we know Him and not be changed? How can we know Him and not be marked? Truly know Him as our Savior. How can we not let the world, how can we not plainly speak and say, I love my Master. I love my Master. You know what? I used to get so mad and hate myself before I got saved. Because I could never give myself what I really wanted. I couldn't make enough money to satisfy it. I couldn't give myself enough. When I was serving myself, I was mad at myself all the time. Amen. But you know what? Jesus has always met my need. I've been satisfied with my Master. Amen. Never a time have I been dissatisfied with Jesus. Do you love your Master tonight? Or let me ask you this, better still, who are you serving tonight? You're serving one or the other. You're serving God or you're serving sin. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'll tell you tonight, we've got a reason to rejoice. We've been marked by the Savior. His provision, His power to carry it out. We were in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 this morning, and I thought about this. And one of the benefits of knowing the Master. There was a number coming against them that there was no way they could win. The king knew that there was no way they could win. A multitude coming against them. You know what he done? He set himself to seek the Lord. He prayed to God. Prayer is one of the greatest benefits of knowing the Master. Being a servant. Prayer. We can go pour our heart out to Him. Y'all realize that? He said, cast your cares on Him, for He careth for you. But he prayed to God, and you know what God done? God made a promise. He said, you'll not have to fight in this battle, for the battle's not yours, but God's. He said, you just walk the path. Just walk the path down to where the battle's going to be. You just walk the path. Oh, and while you're at it, sing on your way down. Sing praises on the way down. You know what happened when they got there? They had done turned on one another and killed each other. There was nobody left to fight. All that was left to do was to carry off the spoil. We don't fully understand the riches of serving the Master until we begin to do it. Until we begin to serve Jesus, we don't understand fully the riches of serving the Master. Who are you serving tonight? As we stand tonight, Brother Josh, you want to come give an invitation? Or you close out the service however you see fit? But we're serving one or the other tonight. Who are you serving? Do you love your Master?